under the South American.
Okay, first item is roll call, please.
Commissioner Geary.
Excuse.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
Commissioner Christopher.
Here.
Supervisor Couch.
Not here. Okay, thank you. Have the two commissioners had a chance to take a look at the...
Yeah.
Okay, so we need a motion, or if you want to take a look at it, approval of summary proceedings for November of last year.
I'll make the motion to approve.
Okay.
And I will second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No, thank you. Also, oh, I forgot to mention, it's a small group tonight, but any electronic devices, please turn them off or on mute. And if you need to talk, please take it out in the hallway. We do have a close-up, so the acoustics are actually working pretty good tonight. Versus somebody being on the very back, they aren't expecting me to hear them. So, yeah, we like that. We got a number of emails, correspondence. And if anybody wants to review one, they can. They've already been addressed, and if you're okay, we need a motion to receive a file.
I will make a motion to receive and file the correspondence.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Other presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on the matter, on any matter, not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes, and we have a clock tonight. First row, any comments or presentations? Okay? You want it? Okay. This is Steve's first night. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Steve Knopf. My address is 12701 Wynn Avenue in Bakersfield, California. I'd like to thank you all for your service and for your time this evening. So I'll make this real brief because I briefed Nick on it. I didn't realize Nick was in a position to follow this up, but I have a neighbor with animals that they're really nice people, but they're not good neighbors.
Oh.
They have roosters that crow about every 20 minutes around the clock. And I didn't really bring it to their attention until my elderly dad is bedridden. Started letting me know that it was bothering him, and then I've talked to him. I've offered him solutions as much as to buy all their dang roosters or build them a new coop or help them build one, and it falls by the wayside.
Right.
Emailed it in or, you know, filed online, so I just beg your help. That's all I've done.
Thank you. I had a rooster next door to me about 40 years ago. It drove me crazy. I mean, I know what you're going through. Joe? I wasn't sure if you were just rearranging or really getting up.
Both.
Oh, okay.
Joe Payton. I live on the other side of the street, so I don't get as bad as Steve does. But I can tell you, the wind will be blowing 90 miles an hour, and all these chickens are sitting in a tree.
Okay.
Hanging on for dear life. We look out and you're like, they're like, but they get about 2 puppies a year, but they don't have that many dogs. Don't know where these dogs go. They had a pit bull that I kept trying to tell them how to keep it in the yard. They put it outside, it'd go over the fence. It chased cats down the road, I'm sure killed them. A friend of mine was over and the pit bull and a couple of the little dogs got out. My friend's like, your neighbor just came out and watched her dogs run down the road, looked at them and went, and walked back in the house and shut the garage door.
Take care.
No, they're very neglectful. I'm concerned they take care of their animals like that. How do they take care of their children? So.
Okay, where's this again?
I live two doors down from him, where we're on Wynn Ave, they're on Wynn Avenue.
Wynn?
Wynn, W-I-N-N.
Wynn Avenue, okay.
So, they've been cited before, so Nick knows the situation now, but something's got to be done, because these animals are not being cared for.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Anybody else on table one? No? Okay, table two, Michelle's got something.
Nothing bothers and cash for you, Stephen.
Michelle Vallejos, 93309, some really good news. In the last couple of months, there's been a new coalition formed here in Kern County called Kern Safe, Saving Animals from Euthanasia. And it includes multiple rescues that I can think, all coming together. Marley's, Unity, A Safer Place, Bakersfield Boxers and Bullies, Emma's, Lucky's Crew, SOS. It includes Kern County Animal Services. It includes City of Bakersfield Animal Care Center. I also am familiar that Nick Riddick from the Shopper Shelter hasn't been involved in meetings. And what we, our first experiment has been, no one started the clock, but I'm not going to tell you. Our first experiment
What time are you?
Is this Saturday. For the last month, I think we've been canvassing one of the areas on the east side of town that surrounds like Kern Medical Center, like Quincy and Palm, all those streets. Twice a week, we've been canvassing with a flyer in English and Spanish, talking about a free vaccine clinic that this Saturday. Groups of people twice a week have gone out, and we mark off where we've been, and then we'll go in groups to others. And it's solely a canvassing effort. We are not posting this online, social media. We really want to hit that community. And while we've been out, we have connection with the SNP bus. We have information forms for people who we weren't canvassing for SNP. We just happened to have them. If someone wanted to talk to us and consider getting their animal fixed, we gave them an information sheet, and they have a direct, we deliver it to SNP, and SNP contacts them. And so over the last month, everyone who's filled out one has been contacted. There's so far 12 confirmed people for the next SNP clinic that have already been booked. Their time slots are set aside. And we're going to see this weekend what a soul canvassing effort does for that community. And I want to say this because it's really important. I know it's going to matter to Nick, because Nick has been saying this to me for a really long time, that the people in these disadvantaged neighborhoods want the help, they just don't know how to do it. And you know, we've been out there fighting a good fight, and there's not been one person who's shooed us away. Maybe a couple people are like, I'm not interested, but everyone is so on board, interested. Businesses put your flyer up, people are talking, and it's just, I know Nick has been saying it, but when you're focused on, you have to break, you know, we've had to break away from just trying to like save the dogs and really focus on the people. And it's a way different. I think Kern Safe is going to be really good for our community. It's been a fight, not only because we're all tired and here we are doing more, but it's actually really humbling and exciting to have, which I've never seen before, all the shelter directors or all the rescues working together just to like knock it out. And I just wanted to share about Kern Safe. And it's exciting for all of us. Okay. No, I don't know. Did I miss something?
Talk about Sunday.
Sunday Martino, who runs Bakersfield Boxers and Bullies Rescue.
This is big.
Purchased Alpha Canine Sanctuary. And she's been out there this last weekend. She had her first group of volunteers to tear down old kennels, and then she's going to build new ones. She has been working on getting dogs that have been on that property for a decade who haven't had human touch homes. I think Marley's Mutts took one of the dogs yesterday that they're really going to work with. There's like three or four dogs out there still that really just have no social interest in humans. The sanctuary is now going to be called Friends of Clyde Animal Shelter. It is a shelter-ish sanctuary that is going to focus on rescue need and shelter need, especially like the city shelter. When there's a large group of dogs that are going to get saved and get put on a transport to go to Canada or whatever, it's usually maybe 30 days notice. So if these dogs are in a shelter and no one's going to foster them, they're taking up all that space in a shelter, and we know what happens when there's no space. So Sunday's idea is to create a situation where if there's 30 dogs that need a holding place for like a month, she's going to have the space, and then the shelter can fill those kennels and keep a rotation happening and probably cause a little less euthanasia and really have a place for rescues in the shelter to keep dogs for a short amount of time. It's not going to be accessible to the community. It's not for the community, just another place to hold hundreds of more dogs, and she just wants to keep them rotating and get those dogs out there safe.
That's really good news.
Yeah, really cool. She's been working her little hiney up.
Tell her we'd like to see her at a meeting.
Sure.
We haven't seen her in about 6 months.
I'll tell her.
So yeah. Okay, that's all positive. I like
no that. Judgment.
No, she's already passed them.
Yeah.
She probably was passed out the next day.
I understand. But anyway, thanks for bringing that up. Okay, Danny, everything? Okay, third row? Okay, good. Seeing none, we'll come back to the head table. You got Sunday's time on that one, so that's why they go over.
What?
Yeah, I gave you
for
Sunday. Yeah. Okay. Staff announcements and reports. Mr. Cullen.
Good evening, everybody. A few of you that showed up. Nick Cullen, Director of Kern County Animal Services. I got quite a bit to go over. Not only is it a director's report to recap both November and December, so 2 months of activities, but I also wanted to kind of recap statistically 2023 and really let you know kind of the challenges that we faced and some of the challenges that lie ahead and maybe how we're going to attack those challenges. We had some pretty big challenges in November. Some of you may have heard that towards the end of November, the Friday after Thanksgiving, we had a call from one of our staff. The shelter was closed, but our staff comes in from 7 a.m. until 9:30 or so, and they care for the shelter animals, and then they go home, and then another crew comes back in the afternoon, and we had word from the morning crew that there was a dog that was in our care, that was in an isolation wing, that was found deceased in kennel, and the conditions that it was found in were disturbing. I won't get into it, but it's the sort of thing that raises concerns. We got feedback from this employee. Lisa, the shelter supervisor, contacted me. We talked about it. It was something that we just had cause for concern. Nothing to, pull a fire alarm about just yet, but enough to say, there's some concern about how this animal expired. And then later in the afternoon, when the afternoon staff came back to provide care, they found another dog deceased in kennel under the same conditions, but not in an isolation area, in a general population area. So now that is cause for serious concern, because the symptoms that the dogs has died from, we don't see in the shelter very often, ever. And they were rapid onset, and that the dogs that had expired were perfectly fine the day before, and then less than 24 hours later had died. And the fact that it wasn't in an isolated area, the isolated area means that these animals had already ongoing issues. The fact that it's in general population and it was a dog that had been here for a bit, it's a cause for alarm. And then there was several other dogs that we had noted had symptoms that were rapidly progressing too. And so we called an emergency meeting of our staff that Saturday afternoon after Thanksgiving, Dr. King was involved, our veterinarian, and she felt, you know, it was enough of a concern that it might be some viral affectation in our animals that could spread, you know, virulently through the shelter quickly if we don't take quick action. You know, the fact that we had seen two dogs expire with rapid onset of symptoms, and then we saw symptomatic dogs in adjacent areas, again, we could come in Sunday morning and have half the shelter deceased. And so we took action. You know, we quarantined the entire shelter. You know, you probably heard about it. We stopped sending animals out for adoption while we lab tested the animals that were affected. We sent out some media advisories about, you know, we had an illness, we weren't sure what it was, and then that was complete transparency because we didn't know what it was. Dr. King thought, she thought at the time, she was pretty certain that it was strep zoo, which is a form of strep that isn't normally found in dogs, but is normally in farm animals and can transition to dogs. And when that transition happens and it's spread from dog to dog, in dogs that are immunocompromised, so especially a dog that's in a shelter with a high stress, suppressed immune system that's already dealing with respiratory infection, that's the sort of opportunistic virus that can cause rapid onset of death. So she thought that Saturday, that's probably what we have. And that's, you know, like I said, major cause for concern, because if it's in two dogs or four dogs, it's a pretty good chance that it's in 60. And that's, like I said, that runs the risk, and it is not uncommon to walk into a shelter that has strep zoo and 60 dogs are dead. And so that's why we took the steps that we did. You know, that Sunday afternoon after Thanksgiving, I called the county administrative officer and I explained it to him. And he said, whatever you need resource-wise, we're here to help. And so our whole intent all along was to try to minimize the amount of animals in the shelter that either die or have to be euthanized as a result. We were very judicious, to be honest with you. Anything that was symptomatic had to be put down. And so, you know, our numbers at the end of the year, we probably euthanized at least another 40 or 45, maybe 50 dogs just as a result of that outbreak over the course of about 3 weeks. And so, you know, that Tuesday we got testing back, confirmed it was strep zoo, and that was kind of relieving because there was all this sort of gossip and rumors that were in the media about this, you know, mysterious respiratory illness that's affecting dogs all over the place. Nobody really knew what it was, this, that. So once we knew it was strep zoo, it's like, okay, this is something that we can identify and we can treat. And Dr. King and I contacted UC Davis, and we contacted some other organizations that had dealt with a similar viral outbreak. And then what we took away is that it's manageable. And so we took the direction that was given. We quarantined the shelter for as long as we could, and treated the animals. Our medical staff literally came into the facility that Sunday after Thanksgiving and placed 250 dogs on antibiotics. And after that, we ordered an injectable antibiotic, and we gave them a shot of Convenia, which lasts for 14 days. And then they didn't have to continue to administer treatment every single day to 250 dogs. But once we did that, you know, we had a treatment plan. And we got feedback that it's manageable, and that as long as you can treat the animals, get them early, treated early on, you probably never see this in the environment anytime soon again. So once we did that, we got a handle on it, you know, and we put out quite a bit of information to the community that, hey, you can adopt pets from the shelter anymore, your pets should be fine and safe, and some precautions and some stuff on our website and social media just to keep people informed. And you know, it was a learning experience to get past something like that. You know, we had the full support of the county administrative office. County administrative office spent about $25,000 purchasing mobile kennels for us so that we can set up kennels in our parking lot. We had to reach out to public health. Public health brought out some mask tents that they were using for COVID vaccinations back in 2020. We had kennels in tents with dogs in them for about 3 days so that we can empty out kennels, disinfect, let it dry, and then move animals back in. It was a massive undertaking. It really took the efforts of the entire county just to get past this without having to depopulate an entire shelter. And you know, the end result of that story is we were contacted by a shelter in Prince George, Maryland, about 2 weeks ago. It's a municipal shelter, and they take in probably about 8,000 dogs a year, and they're dealing with a strepsil outbreak. And so, you know, it's the sort of thing where we were lucky enough that we identified it fast and took a pretty aggressive course of treatment, and we kind of set a precedent so that other shelters, especially shelters that are under-resourced and underfunded, kind of like ours, don't result in euthanizing an entire population of dogs because it's manageable. So the story that got out there, like other agencies see that story and then contacted us and said, how did you do it? And so it was a learning, it was really a learning process, and you know, we're really hoping we don't see anything that even resembles strep zoo for some time. It's a really nasty bug, and you know, it's something to be concerned about in the shelter environment in perpetuity at this point, because we know it's in our environment, we know it's in our agricultural industries, and so we know it's going to affect the animals in the shelter, so we've had to change all our cleaning procedures and protocols and stuff like that. But and I can answer any questions about that. I know it's been almost 2 months now, but first off, I want to address that. So we were pretty busy with spaying neuter clinics in November and December. We held 9 spay neuter clinics. We've also been, which is not on here, we've also been holding co-sponsored spay neuter clinics with SOS Dog Rescue, where they're splitting the cost with us. And when we work with SOS, it's a county clinic. SOS is putting half the cost. So that's not included in the spay neuter clinics. That's in the spay neuter program. We were appropriated $500,000 in spay neuter funding this year. We've expended just over 50% of that as of December 31st, so we're right on pace to spend every last dollar of that. Good thing Joe's in the office. We have set some records this year, actually. The 2023, we affected 4,905 private party adoptions. It's the most adoptions we've ever processed at the Kern County Animal Shelter in the history of data keeping. We also affected 2,551 animals released to nonprofits, which is not a record, but damn near close to it. All told, all live outcomes. A live outcome is any way an animal can leave the shelter alive. So that's adoption, it's rescue, it's a return to owner, it's a trap neuter return. We affected about 11,200 live outcomes. That's by and large the most live outcomes we've ever affected at the Kern County Animal Shelter. We did have our mega pet adoption on November 6th.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Never know.
So our mega pet adoption is an annual adoption event that we do every year, almost every year. We skipped 2020 and 2021. But it was successful again this year. We placed just under 70 animals, all agencies combined. It wasn't as many people as we've seen in the past, and we're trying to figure out how to address that next year. But it was well received. You know, it was a fun event to participate in. There's a lot of different organizations who participated. And you'll see that there's a good picture of the Director of Animal Services who took prize to the face.
I thought that was you.
Yeah, that's me. That's because they got pies. We continue to be out in the community every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with mobile pet adoptions. This weekend we'll be at a moving company on Friday. We'll be at a car wash on Saturday, I believe. And then we'll be at PetSmart on Callaway on Sunday. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're taking animals out into the community and trying to get them placed in adoptive homes in the community. And what's going to make that easier is about 3 years ago, we had special ordered 2 tall, brand new Ford C250 vans and it took 3 years to create and build, and we finally got it delivered last week. And so they have cages built into them, and they're stainless steel, and they're tall enough to walk in, and it's going to make the off-site adoptions a lot easier because we can put a lot more dogs on these vans, and they're pretty well kept in the vans. They can be climate controlled, and we're also going to be able to use these to do more transports up and down the state too. So off-site adoptions are really a big thing for us. We were all throughout the community in December. I can't even tell you how many Christmas events we did. We had Santa at the shelter. We had Santa at Petco. We were in at least two parades. One got canceled.
Yeah.
Well, we were there, and then I told everybody to go home. And then we did our Thanksgiving feast in November. So every Thanksgiving, our staff and volunteers, they ask for donations of canned chicken and all kinds of trimmings for Thanksgiving feast for the pets. And this year was no different. We got tons and tons of donations, and our staff and volunteers came out Thanksgiving Day or Thanksgiving morning and mixed up a whole ton of food, and every dog in the shelter, every animal in the shelter got a Thanksgiving feast. And we did that for Christmas as well. I wanted to also touch on, which by the way, I didn't tell you guys, but on the cover of the directions report, there is now a QR code. You can scan that QR code, and it goes to the director's report, in case you'd rather look at it on your phone. That's for another. Last but not least, I wanted to touch on Chupa. So Chupa is a dog that came to us in June of 2023. And if you look at page 14 on the director's report, you'll see what Chupa looked like on intake. Real bad skin condition, real bad hemodectic mange, and that's the type of dog that, shoot, 10 or 12 years ago, probably wouldn't have stayed very long in the shelter. But Chupa was with us long enough that treatment was started, and we kept Chupa long enough that we were able to promote to rescue. And in July, Central California Herding Rescue came and got Chupa. And page 15 shows you what Chupa looks like now. All of Chupa's hair is back. He's got a home.
I know.
So this is a really cool story. I asked Danny if I forgot anything, and he said, yeah, you forgot about Chupa. We didn't really participate too much in our CAF activities in November, December. Our permit officer was off duty quite a bit in November and December, but she's back at it now. So I did want to touch on, there's another handout, kind of looks like this. If you haven't got it, just let me know. I wanted to just explain what that is. So the front page is, if you look all the way to the right, where it says 2023, that is the number of dogs that were received at the Kern County Animal Shelter this year, 9,220 dogs. And if you look back to 2022, we had received 7,364 total dogs in calendar year 2022. So if you do some basic math, it's almost 2,000 more dogs this year than we received last year. And the most alarming thing is a lot of times we compare this year to the last normal year. Normal by our standards is pre-pandemic. So 2019 is our last normal year. And if you look at the amount of dogs that came to the Kern County Animal Shelter, we took in 9,220 this year. The last normal year, we took in 7,529. So that's almost 1,800 more dogs this year than the last normal year. That's the most dogs we had received at the Kern County Animal Shelter in any year since 2014. And that's kind of important to point out too, because a lot of times, I have been with the county for almost 20 years, so I can tell you about the days at Mount Vernon. well, this isn't that. This is 10 years ago, it was Fruitvale. And so just to compare statistics now to 10 years ago, it's the same facility. It's, we didn't have any more kennel space or any less kennel space than we do right now. And so that's really something to point out, that the amount of dogs that are coming to our facility right now is somewhat unprecedented for the last 10 years. So the next graph I'll go to, it'll show you, there's a blue bar, and that's the total amount of dogs received each year over the past 10 years. There's a brown bar, that's the total number of dogs euthanized at Kern County, at the Kern County Animal Shelters over each year over the past 10 years. And then there's a line that goes through the whole graph to gray, and that is the percentage of all dogs received that were euthanized. And what I wanted to point out there is that, yeah, it's terrible that we've taken in 9,220 dogs this year. It's the most dogs we've taken in 10 years. But the last time we took in this many dogs was in 2014. That was 9,260 dogs. And at that time, we euthanized 4,537 of them, about half. Yeah. So although this year, 2023, we've taken in as many dogs as we did 10 years ago, we were able to save about 2,500 more of them this past year than we did in 2014. And I can't say we have a ton more staff to do it. You know, it's really the dedication of the people that are there right now and really the support of the community. There's another graph here. It says there's a same blue and sort of brownish chart with a gray line going through it, and that is just the total, the blue bar is the total amount of live outcomes. Again, the total live outcomes are any way that an animal can leave the shelter alive. The brown bar is total amount of animals received, and then there's a gray line going through the chart that's just a percentage of all animals that are saved. So how many animals come in versus how many animals we save. And again, the thing I want to point out there is that 10 years ago, in 2014, were saving about half of all the animals that had come to us, as opposed to 2023, where we're saving about 75% of all the animals that come to the Kern County Animal Shelter. So it is a struggle, clearly, and there's a lot to be concerned about, and there's a lot that really unsure of what the next year will bring us. But our team in this community is kind of like Michelle said, you know, coming together and really trying to figure out new ways that we can attack this problem. One of the last pages, another one of my favorite bar charts, this just gets into cats. If you're interested to see how cats survive in the animal shelter, about 85% of all the cats received at the Kern County Animal Shelter end up leaving alive. With about 15% of cats received end up being put down. A large reason for that is our trap meter release program. It's about we're probably going to send about 3,000 animals out to DR this year. And then the last thing, I'll skip over a few things that I wanted to show you, is this back page, which is kind of important because I want to point out that, like I said, we've taken in more dogs this year than we have in a long, long time. But the big difference is what makes up that increase in dogs. And so that back page right there, that'll show you how many dogs have come to us that are under the age of 5 months and what percentage of all dogs that is. So in 2014, we took in 2,438 dogs under the age of 5 months. In 2023, we took in 3,283. 36% of all dogs coming in are puppies, as opposed to 10 years ago, it was 26%. So if you want to know why our shelters are being flooded with dogs, you can look at the fact that about over a third of them are puppies. And puppies that are being produced in the prior 5 months. And that is not a new trend, as much as it is an increasing trend, because last year it was 33% of all dogs coming to us were puppies, which was way more than it had been in years prior. So again, I don't know what this year is going to bring us, but it's clear that animals are being produced in our community at rates that we haven't seen for a long time. And, you know, I could sit up here and wax poetic about why that is, but the fact of the matter is that there's animals coming to us because they're being produced at a feverish pace. And, you know, it's a good thing that there's collaboratives being done right now to try to address that. That concludes my report.
We've got a couple questions up here. Carrie?
No, I just wanted to say that the way you guys were able to get that outbreak under control is pretty impressive.
How is that spread? Strep 3 or strep 2?
It's direct contact.
With another infected dog?
So nasal, fecal, bodily fluids being transferred from dog to dog. It could be aerosolized as well.
So another dog in the shelter infected it, or the first two dogs that passed came in with it?
I mean, how it was transferred from dog to dog in the shelter would be direct contact with an infected dog, but how it came into the shelter in the first place is an animal carried it in from outside. It wasn't produced in the shelter, but yeah, it's going to be direct contact with an infected animal.
Wow. That's scary. Yeah, great job to control that and save as many lives as possible.
That's
horrible.
Yeah. I had a couple questions regarding the dogs that you said over the whole ordeal, only 45 or 50 dogs got put down. Is that what you said?
No. What I was saying is that viral outbreak resulted in another 45 to 50 dogs being euthanized that wouldn't have normally.
Oh, that wouldn't have normally.
Right. So, okay. You know, usually dogs that we would have finished the course of treatment or antibiotics on a course of treatment for antibiotics, yeah, but had symptoms and were symptomatic. You know, those are, when you're dealing with the potential for a virus to spread and kill everything in the facility, if a dog is symptomatic, you can't wait for symptoms to improve.
I see, yeah.
That's right.
But you gave us a lot here. I mean, a lot of really positive things. One in particular that I was pleased to see, you said you did more adoptions this year to date, which our fiscal year is July 1st to June 30th.
Oh, this calendar year.
I'm sorry?
This was calendar year.
Calendar year, okay. So that's the most we've had in a long time, or ever, the way you're talking, adoptions.
Right.
What do you attribute that to? I mean, you're doing a variety of programs here. They're all just maybe getting some traction?
No, I think it's more, there was more animals that have come to us to be adopted.
Okay.
I think that probably drove the amount of animals that were adopted. Yeah.
Okay, I see.
But it still says a lot about the community that they're continuing to come and adopt pets. You know,
they're taking
400 animals were adopted from the county shelters.
Yeah, 400 dogs. Or is this dogs and cats, or is this just dogs?
Depends which one you're looking at, but yeah, it's probably dogs and cats. Okay. 4,900 is dogs and cats.
Okay. And you're doing a lot of innovative things. I mean, 10 years ago, we weren't doing this many things. You're doing a lot of great marketing ideas.
I mean, I was the director 10 years ago, so we were still doing some innovative things.
You're stepping it up, so that's good. So anyway, good job on all those things and feeding them that turkey dinner. That was nice. Okay, that's all the questions we have. We're going to open up to the group. First table, any questions regarding the director's report? Okay, second table. Michelle.
I wanted to, Nick was talking about how many puppies have been coming into the shelter, and it reminded me again, I'm just throwing it out there for anyone who doesn't know, SOS, Strength of Shadow Rescue, Robbie's the guy, that's his rescue. Where are they? Isabella? He has been coming, I think he could be on week 5, I'm not sure, participated in a SNP clinic every week. Every single week he's in here in Kern County, with his SNP bus and his rescue, whether it's in cahoots with someone else or on his own. And he's been hitting mostly east side of Bakersfield, but different areas, just throwing people's money in another way. And that's just to consistently have these SNP clinics for people to show up and get their dogs fixed. So if anyone wants to donate like $7,000 Any of the rescues would love to host a free spay and neuter clinic.
$7,250.
Would love to hold. That would give, you know, a free resource. Now, if you donate half, maybe they'll fit in the other half and charge a little bit. But it really helps the community. And Robbie's really hitting it hard trying to get the puppies to stop coming. I'm sure everyone is. I just recognize that he's out there every week.
Every week.
Doing it.
That's phenomenal. Okay, thanks for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
Last show, any questions? Okay. All right. Thank you, Director Cohen. Appreciate it. You had a lot of ground to cover tonight.
Do we need to receive and file?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay. I need someone to make a motion to receive and file.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
And I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Moving on to commissioner announcements or reports. Basically, what it is commissioners may make an announcement or report on their own activities. They may ask for a question or clarification, make a referral to staff, or take action to have staff place a matter of business on the future agenda. Any announcements? How about at your respective jobs? Give us a highlight. In the microphone, please.
We did a C-section on a Pomeranian 2 days ago.
What was it?
A C-section.
Oh, C-section.
Yeah, emergency C-section. All three puppies live.
Oh, that's great.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's really kind of good about it.
Well, you know what? Everything adds up.
Yeah.
It all adds up. And you are making a difference. But what everybody's doing, it's all making a difference.
Yeah.
Gina.
I have an appointment next Thursday for 16 cats. I don't know if any of you have noticed that Critters Without Litters has gone to appointments only for the feral community, and it is a struggle. I jump up on the website almost every morning, and there's never any appointments available, and it's really hard, especially if, you know, two at a time. It's a lot of driving, so anytime that I am blessed with an appointment, I am very, very grateful for it. Hopefully, Vicki will be able to secure another vet, but from what I understand right now, she only has one full-time vet, so that's why we're limited. On my personal note, I am phasing out of my kitten program. I just cannot do it all. I am caring for my dad, who's very ill, and I just felt like I have to put my priorities in order, but I'm still going to be doing TNR, and I will still be helping out the rescue that I partner with STOP to get kitties fixed. I'll probably still do my Selma runs because I know vets are just so hard to come by, and I'm good at it, and it gets me out of town, you know, once a month with 30 or 40 cats in the back of my car. So that's something that I can do easily to help the community. And hopefully we'll get a SNP bus up in Tatchby sometime soon to also help out. But in the meantime, Have a Heart is still hosting a SNP bus, I believe, once a month. But again, by the time you hear about it, it's full. I've been on their list for a couple months and have never gotten an appointment. So just keep plugging along. My numbers, we've done almost 600 TNRs. It'll be 2 years in April. And I'm up to about 300 kittens that I pulled out of the colony. So it's almost 1,000 kittens that I fixed in the last 2 years that are not going to be producing. Thank God. And a lot of those have come from Bakersfield, too, because I have somebody who partners with the TNR with me, and she tends to talk to people too much. And, you know, everybody's got a kitten. When you're waiting in line at Critters for 4 hours, everybody's got a litter of kittens. So she's been curtailed, and she swears that she'll be good. So hopefully the other rescues will be able to step up and fill the gap that I know I will leave. But, you know, I can only do what I can do. So
how hard is an appointment to get at Critters?
Impossible.
Impossible. Like, mm-hmm. Give me a for instance. Like,
I tried for days in a row just to see if I could. I don't even do TNR because I heard people talking about it, and there was literally never any opening.
Yeah.
Never.
So they load the appointments in 2 weeks in advance. So the TNRs, they're not going to book, you know, 3 months in advance for a TNR. They only load them 2 weeks in advance.
2 weeks, that's it.
Yeah, I don't know on what day she gets in there and loads them, but I believe she's limiting them to 20 appointments.
Wow.
And I've been successful in obtaining like two. And this started maybe a month and a half ago.
But people were waiting up to 4 hours at the door, right?
Yeah.
In the past.
Yeah, and they had some altercations. Some people were fighting.
Well,
and,
I mean, I could see that.
You know, you get people hanging around at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and bad stuff's going to happen.
Yeah,
so this way, you don't even have to be there until 7:15.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of blessings in this, but I can't get any appointments. So.
And can I ask you a question, my TNR friend? How does one trap a cat for an appointment? Like, does it work out that way? That cat goes into the trap because they know you have an appointment?
That's a good question.
Well, you make the appointment and then you trap the cat.
What if you don't trap the cat?
Then you'll email them and let them know that you're not going to be showing
and
up.
And so they like nix you after that?
No.
Like you didn't, you made an appointment, you didn't show up? Because I feel like I don't do it, but my thought process when people were telling me about it, I was like, I would not know how to like make an appointment and then what, cross your fingers that you get this cat.
I know, we have some people that bring them to us, and it's usually 9 times out of 10, there's enough cats there that they will catch somebody.
Yeah, as a rule.
I guess I just don't, I've never trapped cats, I've only been, the dog thing. I just could imagine, going in the morning, and there's no cat there, and I'd be like, what?
Yeah, well, you don't trap overnight, you don't leave the traps unattended. So you trap earlier in the day, and then once it's dark, you're kind of done, but they do come out, but you always have to leave the trap attended. You can't just go to bed and hope that in the morning you'll have something.
That makes, well, now you've opened the light.
I mean, it could be very inhumane because the cats are going to thrash around.
Sure.
You have to cover them up immediately.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Sure.
To trap really any animal, if you get used to being fed at a certain location, and then you put a trap there one night, overnight, and it's there, but you don't set it, and then the next day you go in and you put the food in the trap, and they're like, oh, that was fine, it was there yesterday. Now they go in the trap, you spring it, and you've got them.
I see.
So I think
that's a good idea.
That's what I've gotten dogs in like, 20 minutes that way.
Yeah.
Don't chase them around at all.
But she's right about it. Don't leave it unattended, because I made a mistake about 10 years ago. I was trying to trap the mama of a baby that we had, and I put in some really smelly sardines in this cat trap and just left it there all night. And in the morning, we had something in the trap.
Yeah,
it ended up being a kid fox.
Oh, go to jail.
I let him go.
Yeah, skunks are fun. That's
okay.
What you'll end up with if you use the trap unattended all night.
Yeah, don't do that.
I don't think I'd ever leave a trap unattended. I just didn't know the cat world and how it worked.
And mackerel is really good and smelly, so it's
mackerel,
a really good thing to throw in there.
And
you can get it at the night night sale store.
Yeah, that was a mistake, but that's what happened. So that's why you don't do it.
Yeah.
Okay, this is all really good discussion. I like that. That concludes the commissioner's announcements. Old business. Any update on the AKC Reunite fundraiser?
I can give you an update.
Probably not. Is there anything?
Yeah, I can give you an update.
Okay, please.
So AKC Reunite contacted me January 3rd and asked me to approve the proof of the trailers with our logos on them. And I requested a few changes, but totally. So there's a design and a proof. So as soon as they get me the updated design with our logo on it, they'll be able to apply the logo, and the first one is good to go.
Why didn't you just accept it? It looked good to me.
No, it didn't. I didn't like it.
A little bitty. Yours was great big.
I didn't mind the little bitty and the big thing. The colors were wrong. And they called us animal control.
Yeah,
I wanted animal services.
She told me that their problem has been that the company that's building the trailers themselves, the bodies, has been overwhelmed by the numbers that they're getting in, and so it's put them behind.
The numbers of what, though?
Of the trailers being built to be reunited.
Orders.
They have so many people around the country that are buying their, I guess you call it buying them, that are giving
word around them.
The trailer company can't keep up.
Well, that's a good problem to have in a way.
So that's why I got after her for keeping putting this off, and she's like, I can't help it.
Yeah. My friend ordered a, this is a side note, my friend ordered a Ford that has the battery and the gas.
Hybrid thing?
Hybrid, yeah. He ordered it 2 years ago, and they said, you know what, we can't get it this year. And he said, well, I want my money back, because they said, well, it's going to cost you more, and your trade-in, by the way, has now gotten less. Mm-hmm. And I said, where are these trucks made at? He goes, Mexico. I said, if I was the GM of this place, I'd be cranking it out 24/7.
I had, they're short on chips.
They're short on chips?
Yeah.
I would find some chips, by the way.
Or go to China.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. But I mean, you know, to have a product that you people want and you can't produce, that's a good problem to have. But anyway, same way with the trailers. Okay, it's a good discussion. New business, guess what? None. And adjournment.
Commissioner Blackburn? Commissioner, can I ask a favor?
Yes, you may.
This may be news to some of you, but can I ask that we close the meeting in honor of a late good friend of mine and an animal advocate by the name of Liz Keough?
Did she die? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. How would you like to do that?
It's already done. You okay. Just close the meeting and everybody...
No, she was a dear friend of mine.
Just give her some thought.
When did she die?
I don't know. Recently.
What about her dogs?
I don't know.
I meant to go over there and see her. I mean, she's the one that actually got me cranked up to do this in the first place.
I mean, she had
she was quite a lady.
Yeah,
sure, I mean, she had plans for her animals.
The frumpiest little woman I've ever met in my life.
Oh, yeah, she's a
wildfire.
Yeah. No, we're going to miss her. Haven't seen her in a couple of years.
Oh, boy. Well, New York, I mean, she's scary.
Oh, she was tough. Thanks, Nick.
She was scary.
All right.
She was.
If you were on her opposite side, mm-hmm.
You don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay,
you don't want to be in dorm anymore. Thanks, Liz.
Our next meeting, Wednesday, February 21st, 2024, and we need to have a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion for adjournment. I'll second.
Okay, all in favor. We'll see you next week or next month.